Good to see this number out this morning, and we're so grateful for your presence. If you're visiting with us and you're not a member of the Church of Christ, we're delighted to have you in our study. I encourage you to get your Bible and study with us. In a few moments, we'll stand and sing the song that Brother Craig has suggested. If you've never put on Christ in baptism, all things have been made ready. There's clothing here at the baptistry's field. And upon your faith in Jesus Christ, you can be immersed for the remission of sins and be added to the family of God. If you have your Bible this morning, if you'll turn with me to the book of Acts in the 27th chapter, I want to read with you one verse to get the thought for our study. In the book of Acts and the 27th chapter, if you will, look at verse 35. And when he had said these things, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Excuse me. I would at this time like for you to look at the statement made in the book of Acts and the 27th chapter and recognize that at this time Paul is in a great storm. That at this time they're making their way to Rome, and Paul had warned the people not to set sail because at that time the weather would be bad. But when they looked out and they saw the soft southerly breeze, they ignored the heat of Paul and they set sail. And now they are in a great storm, and they've thrown off a lot of their tackle, and they're fearful for their life. And then Paul comes to them, and Paul says that God had told them there would be no loss of life. And then in your Bible, in the book of Acts and the 27th chapter, Paul stops with everybody, and in verse 35, he tells them they need to eat. And notice the statement the Bible says in verse 35. He took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. Have you ever thought that in the midst of a great storm, when people were fearful for their life, when they were fearful if they would ever see their loved ones again, they were fearful if the ship would run aground or if it would somehow sink into the sea, Paul says, God has stood by me. Paul has said, God has said, do not be afraid. There will be loss of ship, but no loss of life. And therefore, he encourages them to take bread and eat. And then in the midst of this great storm, instead of everybody just grabbing a bite, notice, if you will, Paul stops and Paul gives thanks. If you have your Bible, underscore gives thanks. If ever there was a time that one might just be praying for themselves, for their life, for their well-being, it would be when they were in a storm that looked like would take the ship and the lives of all involved. But instead, Paul, believing the word of God, stopped the people, said, you need to eat something, and he took bread and gave thanks. I thought about that statement. I thought about some things that Paul was thankful for. And one thing Paul was thankful for was his daily provision being met, even in the midst of a great storm. Even when it looked like there would be a loss of life. Even when it looked like fear would overtake the sailors, Paul said, God will deliver us. Therefore, stop and take eat. And they stopped and Paul gave thanks. I would that we would put down this morning that Paul was thankful for his bread. That Paul was thankful even in the time of a storm that God had provided. But then if you take your Bible this morning, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And when you come to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, notice that Paul is thankful for something else. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, look if you will at verse 4. In verse 4, Paul said, I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus. If you take your Bible, notice the statement that Paul was grateful for brethren. He was grateful for the brethren in Corinth that were faithful to God. And Paul said, I give thanks to God for you. I pray and I let God recognize my gratitude for brethren such of you that has been saved and redeemed. Then if you take your Bible in the Roman letter and the first chapter, in verse 8, Paul says, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for y'all that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world." Paul, when he writes to the church at Rome, says, "I'm thankful that your light is shining. I'm thankful for the brethren there at Rome that stand true and stand fast. Even though the world is a mess, even though there's persecution going on, even though there are problems on every hand, Paul said, I'm thankful for the brethren that stand for that which is right. Paul said, I'm thankful for brethren that continue to do that which is holy and good." And Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, Paul wrote to the church at Rome, and Paul let his thanks be known for the brethren. When I look at that man named Paul, I see a man who thanked God. I see a man who poured his heart out to God. And even in a storm, he stopped to thank God for bread. And even when he's being persecuted, he stopped to thank God for brethren, for men and women who stood for the truth, men and women who loved God and loved His Word and did His will. And Paul was one who was thankful. Oh, I stand amazed at the gratitude and thankfulness of Paul. That Paul was a man that was humble enough to recognize that it is through God that all blessings flow. But then if you take your Bible, look if you will, in the Roman letter and the 7th chapter. And when you come to the Roman letter and the 7th chapter, notice again something else Paul was thankful for. When Paul would thank God in Romans chapter 7, look if you will at beginning at verse 23. In Romans 7 and verse 23, he said, "But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" Now watch it. "I thank God." Underscore that. "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." Paul said, "Who will deliver me from this body of death? Who is it that can deliver me from my sin? Who is it that will be able to save me and redeem me? I can't keep the law perfectly." And he's talking about, if you want to go back to the law of Moses, he couldn't keep that law perfectly. And even under the new covenant, under the covenant of grace, the pattern of Christ, he hasn't kept it perfectly. And Paul said, "When I look at myself, what I see is a wretched man." And he raises the question, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me?" Have you ever stopped to think about this morning? You and I could make that same statement. When we look back and think about all of our past sins, all of our blunders, all of our failings, all of our undoings, that each one of us could say, "Oh, wretched man or woman that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" Spiritual death, eternal separation from God. And Paul recognized the only one that would be able to do that would be God. And he said, "I thank God through Jesus Christ. I'm thankful that God would love me enough to save me." And then he recognizes that only through God can he be delivered. Paul was grateful that God would deliver him from sin. Paul was thankful that through God's grace he would find mercy. Open your Bible to the Roman letter and the 6th chapter. And when you come to the Roman letter and the 6th chapter, remember what is said in about verse 3. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 3, "Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Therefore we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. For if we've been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Now then drop down to verse 16. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? Those are your options. Either be baptized into Christ, be a son, be added to the family of God, or be a slave. But look at verse 17. But God be thanked. Do you see what Paul was thankful for? What are you thankful for, Paul? He said, God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, that's past tense. You were in bondage. You were in iniquity. You were bonded to the evil one. You were in bondage of sin. He said, but God be thanked that though that's what you once were, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. What form of doctrine? That we just read in verses 3 through 5. They've been set free. They've been added to the family of God. So Paul was thankful that one could be free from their past, that their sins can be blotted out. You know, sometimes people will hold your past against you. There are some people that will never let you forget your past. But you know one thing I'm thankful for? That the God of heaven doesn't. That when I made my life right with God and I went down into that watery grave of baptism, every sin I've ever committed had been blotted out. And now when I fall short of the glory of God, I can bow my head and I can pray and confess my sin. And my God is faithful and just to forgive me of my sin. 1 John 1, 9. I've seen some people who aren't very forgiving. I've seen some people who want to hold a past against you. But I'm so thankful, my friend, that that form of doctrine that I obeyed freed me from my past sin. I heard a story one time about a man, Marshall Keeble, a Nashville priest. And Marshall Keeble talked about there was a man that mistreated his wife and mistreated her badly and used to cuss her. And finally her father came and took her back home. And that man was so distraught that his wife was gone, he went down and he listened to some preacher doing a tent revival. And after he heard the sermon, he went back another night, and then he went back another night and was baptized. And then he went to his father-in-law's house and he knocked on the door and he said, I've come to get my wife. And the father-in-law said, get out of here. You've mistreated her. He said, I've never mistreated her. He looked at him and he said, what are you talking about? We've seen the bruises on her arm. He said, I've never hit her. He said, well, we walked up on you while you were cussing her. He said, I've never cussed her. Sounds like he's lying, doesn't it? But you know what he told that man? He said, Papa, I went down and I was baptized. I'm coming to her a new man. That's been washed away. I'm different. I want to tell you, that's the right concept. Though those sins are washed away. Now, all the consequences aren't always washed away, but I'll tell you, the sins are. And the consequences with God are. Now, if I've committed murder, I can have my sin blotted out, and that consequence with God may be blotted out, but I still have to face the consequence of the state. But isn't it a wonderful thing to know that God would blot it out? But then I want you to think about something else. Open your Bible to the Philippian letter and the first chapter. When you come to the Philippian letter and the first chapter, notice, if you will, kindly what Paul had to say in verse 3. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 3, Paul was thankful for his memory of his brethren. When he said, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Every time Paul thought of the saints at Philippi, it warmed his heart. He's writing to them while he's in prison. And while he is in this dungeon that probably was not very tall and was very damp and very uncomfortable and very confined, and he's chained to a Roman guard, and he's having someone write this letter. He says to him, even though I'm in these conditions, every time I think of you, it warms my heart, and I thank God for every remembrance of you. You ever thought about how much he loved those people? You ever thought about how much he loved the saints at Philippi? Have you ever thought about that he had a grateful heart that those saints at Philippi had encouraged him and enriched his life? But I want you to think about something else. If you take your Bible, turn, if you will, to the book of 2 Corinthians. And when you come to the book of 2 Corinthians, notice with me, if you will, what Paul had to say in the 9th chapter. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Paul was thinking about the kindness of brethren in time of trouble. And Paul thought about their prayer and the grace that God had shown. And he talked about their liberality, that they had supplied the needs of the saints. And they gave many thanksgivings to God. And then he comes down to verse 15. He said, "Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift." That's God's grace, but I'll tell you what else he's thankful for. He's thankful for his brethren that helped in the time of need. He's thankful that God helped him in the time of need, and he's thankful that his brethren helped him in the time of need. He's thankful for the family of God, and he's thankful most of all that the God of heaven supplied every need that he had at that particular time. If you take your Bible, look, if you will, at what is said in the book of Acts in the 26th chapter. When you come to the book of Acts in the 26th chapter, think about what Paul had to say when Paul was going through all those things he had to face. Acts 28. When he comes to Rome, and it talks about when he arrives, that the brethren heard about their arrival, and they came out to meet him at the forums, which is the three M's. And when Paul saw them, he thanked God. Why? Brethren were there to encourage him. And he took courage because of his brethren. I want to take that. I want to make several points in the lesson, Jewish. You know, we're about to have what we call Thanksgiving Day. But have you ever stopped to think about what we should be thankful? You know, when Jesus taught the prayer in Matthew 6, he said that we need to thank God for our daily bread. When was the last time we bowed our heads before we partook of food and sincerely meant what we said when we thank God for the food? Sometimes we want to say the quickest prayer so we can dig in instead of saying the most meaningful prayer. To say, "Thank you, God, that you meet our provisions." It doesn't have to be long, but I'll tell you what, it better be heartfelt. That we thank God that even in the trials of life, God has met our needs. Even when storms are around, God is there to meet our needs and to provide what we need. I'll be honest with you. This time of year, I get a little down. I'll never forget the first Thanksgiving after my mother died on November 8th. We went to my aunt's house in Ashland City, Tennessee. And I felt like I choked down every bite of turkey with tears. But even in grief, I looked around and I thought about what God has blessed me with. Even in trials and troubles, God has richly blessed me. Then I stopped and thought of something else. I thought about what a blessing God had given me a mother for 63 years. And I thought about what a blessing she was in my life. And for many years, I took it for granted. But now I'm thankful to God. And sometimes what happens when we lose a loved one, we blame God for him taking them. When was the last time we thanked God for him giving them to us? We need to learn to be thankful. And even in the midst of storms, see that God provides what we need. The God of all comfort gives us what we need when we need it. But secondly, we need to be thankful for our brethren. I don't know if I'm going to let this be put on the tape or not, but I'm going to say something to you. I'm thankful for you people. we got a good group of people here at Eastside. I believe we got a lot of people here who truly love the Lord. I think we got a lot of people here who truly want to serve God. We've got people here who let their light shine. They're not ashamed of their faith. And I want to tell you something. I don't know where I'd be in life without my brethren. I don't know where I would be without my spiritual family. And sometimes we look around and we forget that there are others who are hurting. But what we need to do is help one another get to heaven and be thankful that God has given us a spiritual family. You know, sometimes we get frustrated with one another. But I get frustrated with my own physical family. But that doesn't mean we don't love one another. And we work through those things. Because we want to help one another get to heaven. When was the last time you thanked God for your brethren? When was the last time you thanked God for the memory of brethren that have gone on? Paul said, I thank God for every remembrance of you. You know, this is my third Thanksgiving with y'all. And there are some who aren't here that were here the last two. But when I think of them, you know what? I'm thankful for them. I'm thankful for their influence. And if I'm here a fourth Thanksgiving, there may be some of us who won't be here. Will we be ready to be thankful for their influence? But I'll tell you something else we need to be thankful for. The deliverance from temptation and the forgiveness of sin. Oh, Paul, let that be known. In Philippians 4:13, and he said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Paul was one who was willing to be thankful that he is delivered from temptation, as he said in Romans 7. And he's thankful that he was forgiven of his sin. Isn't it wonderful this morning to know we're forgiven and that we're children of God? And finally, isn't it wonderful to see kindness in the day of trouble? I'll tell you what you'll never forget. You'll never forget the people that are there when you need them the most. You'll never forget the people who stand with you. And you know what I think? I think we need to learn to be more thankful. I know you probably get tired of hearing me talk about Jackson and Sam, but I've got to give one thing to Sam. We were walking into Walmart the other day, and he was mad. He said, they got a big snowman up. He said, why don't they have a big turkey? Thanksgiving's next. Could it be we skip being thankful year-round? That even that one time a year don't mean anything to us. Maybe instead of taking things for granted, we should look around and be more thankful. And especially that we're children of God. And if you're here and you're not a child of God, we would rejoice with you this morning if you would be obedient to the gospel. Together we stand and sing.